Hey guys, I'm Jen, owner of Hello June Creative, a boutique brand and web design studio. I'm here to help you learn, up-level, and find community in your design business journey. Just remember, the only designer you need to be better than is the one you were yesterday. Hey everyone, welcome back to Better the Brand Designer podcast. I am so excited to introduce our guest for today. We had the best conversation all about this kind of like new season and new era of brand strategy that we're seeing in the industry. I'm so excited for you guys to hear. And I'm going to read her bio now. Like some of us, our next guest thought her career was set out for her in corporate, but in her experience handling large multinational brands, she immediately caught up on the toxic and manipulative practices behind the scenes. This was the turning point that led her to put up a branding studio reflective of her personal values and principles. Bringing her experience in strategy and art direction, she put up Heart and Hone, a branding studio for wellness leaders to articulate the transformation of their work and extend their impact. Now, having worked with dozens of brands in the small business space, she recently branched out to offering brand strategy education for designers like you. Since then, she's made it her mission to see more creatives contribute to life-changing industries while changing their own as well. Without further ado, here is Marion Tan from Heart and Hone. Marion, I am so excited to welcome you to Better the Brand Designer podcast. I feel like it's been such a long time coming, and we were just chatting before we hopped on the recording all about how you've been listening for a while. Tell everyone kind of like what your experience is with the podcast and just like how it feels to be here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so exciting to be here. I was just telling you that the Better podcast was one of the first free resources that I sought out when I started my journey. So it feels like such a full circle moment to actually be a guest and to share my experience, share my stories to people who are currently in the same position that you and I were, you know, when we started out. So it's so exciting and I can't wait to dive in.
Yay. That it is always just so cool to connect with listeners who are like OG, like way back in the day, because I was just saying to you earlier, like, I feel like I had no business at all, like, giving advice because I was, like, in the thick of it with you guys. But, like, I think there's something about that that just felt very relatable. Yeah. And there's even stuff I said back in the day that I would go back and be like, that's probably not the best strategy. Or, like, I've iterated on that since then. But, like, I still want to, like, maintain that same level of, like, I'm literally in the trenches with you guys. I'm doing client work every day. I just went through some client feedback that was confusing and I have to like email the client and be like, okay, what do you mean by this? Like, there's just all of these little intricacies that like, I feel like you just don't understand unless you're like in it. And so I just, everyone listening here, like we want you guys to know, like Marion and I are like in it with you. And I'm hopeful that that's like kind of the place where this like conversation can come from because brand strategy can be like a little confusing and it's something that we talk about often on the podcast, but like Marion has like a very unique perspective and I'm just like really excited to chat about it with you today.
Yeah, me too. And I think, you know, just to reiterate, that's what I really loved about this podcast because it's those vulnerabilities, those mistakes, those areas that could be improved on that make it so, it's so permission giving to see someone else go through the same thing as you, you know, and not maybe necessarily have it all together, but they're still showing up. They're still doing the thing that they have to be doing. And sometimes that's really all you need, you know, like that's all you need to hear to be able to take that next step or take action.
Yes, and get better one day at a time. Okay, enough puns. I'm so sorry, everybody. Well, let's get into some brand strategy. What got you into brand strategy? Do you want to give us just kind of like a Cliff Notes version of your design career? What led you to starting your studio? And then like why you feel like you've gravitated towards brand strategy and having that be a leading part of your positioning in your studio?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been freelancing as a graphic designer ever since I was in university, which is about, I don't know, eight years ago. And it wasn't something I really decided upon, you know, to be a freelancer. People were just aware that I know how to do Photoshop and like work on Illustrator. And they started to ask me to do flyers and branding, you know, both large corporations and smaller businesses. And my degree was marketing, and a significant part of our curriculum was actually brand strategy and development. And I also had a career in brand management and advertising. So that's where I really learned the ropes of high-level strategy and how to craft plans for brands and campaigns. And I guess you could say that this is the privilege that I had coming into the online space, because I already knew strategy and had experience in it before, you know, setting up my own brand and studio. But throughout my career, I would, you know, still take on design work, just random jobs here and there on top of my day job. Part of it was to earn a little bit of extra, but it was mostly because I really enjoy the creative freedom that working with smaller entrepreneurs provides that you can't get when you're building the brand of a larger corporation or working under their standards. However, in these freelancing jobs that I took, I wouldn't tackle it with strategy. I guess I just didn't see the difference that it really made at that time, because, you know, in the companies that I worked with, these brands already had a strategy in place and we were just building upon it, tweaking it. But it was rare that we would start from scratch. And on the contrary, for the smaller businesses that I worked with, it was mostly projects where I would provide 10 logo options, do full campaigns for a couple hundred dollars, do all these collaterals because that's what the client would ask. And as the young creative that I was, I wanted to please and satisfy my clients, so I would give them what they want. So I did everything. I would do photo shoots, I would do video animations, tarps, all of the things. And I'm sure like this is sort of like how everyone's journey looks like, you know, you just take on all of the jobs. And so long story short, during the pandemic, I decided to quit my job in advertising as an art director. It was just at a point where I really felt that strong pull to do something bigger, you know, create more impact, I guess, in the work that I was producing. And I realized, you know, like I wasn't aligned with the brands that I was working on. It wasn't aligned with the values of the company. I didn't know why I was putting so much effort into this brand. Like, who is the CEO of this brand? I don't know. So when I discovered the online space, that's when I really thought, you know, like, why don't I position myself as a brand strategist? You know, it's what I've been doing. It's what I'm familiar with. I've worked with brands in this, like with this approach. Why not apply what I learned to, you know, smaller businesses that I actually am passionate about? So that's when I started. But it was such a scary entry into the online space because, yes, I've been freelancing, but I've never put my name and my reputation on the line and got into an actual contract. And at that time, it was my only source of income. So I took on a beta client to sort of test the process, test out how things would go. It was free to rid myself of the pressure. And once that's done, I decided, okay, that wasn't so bad. I feel like I could do it. Took on another paid beta client to really refine that process in a paid setup. And then after that, I think I had less than 500 followers at that time. I just kept posting about, you know, brand strategy, the ROI of brand strategy, blah, blah. And I really wasn't expecting anything. But then this client came to me and pointed to that exact post telling me, hey, I really like the path that you've laid out for how a brand becomes successful. I want that for my brand. And she ended up booking, and that became my first high ticket client at a price point that was three times the original pricing that I had as a goal. And then, you know, the rest was history.
That is so amazing when a client comes to you and they point directly to a piece of content that you put out there. Yes. Because like it feels like shouting into the void and throwing spaghetti at the wall sometimes when you're posting on social media. And I know so many designers feel that way there, where they're like, is anyone actually seeing this? Is the algorithm actually showing this to any ideal clients? It seems like only designers are looking at this and liking it and stuff like that, which is totally fine. But it's so encouraging to have a client be like, this is what makes you unique, and have the client articulate to you why you are going to be the choice for them, rather than you having to like convince or like, you know, explain or, you know, not pressure, but really try to pitch yourself in the call. They're like already sold by your content, which is why I always say like the sales process starts in your content creation and your content strategy. Yeah. And that's that's brand strategy right there. You're applying it to yourself. So
yes,
loved hearing everything. And, you know, I think it's always very interesting to see a brand design studio that is positioned specifically with brand strategy, especially in light of your extensive experience in corporate and the agency world with strategy. And so I'm going to go off script here a little bit, but I'm curious about some of the things that you've carried over from your time in agency and in corporate, like in brand strategy specifically, that you've like brought into the small studio space, because a lot of us, like you said, are starting at ground zero with brand strategy. Like, we don't know what it is. Like, we've heard about it. We know we need to do it. We know it's valuable, but we kind of just take a course or learn from someone. Like, what do you think kind of like was that edge that you had from your corporate experience?
I love this question. And I think the biggest thing is treating brand strategy or delivering brand strategy as a tool that your clients can use, that they can take pride in, and that they really feel is their own. And what I mean by that is I see a lot of designers, and it's not wrong in any way. Like, my approach, I guess, is just different, and I think serves my clients better. But the approach that I see most often is designers would use their own templates with their own branding and deliver that to the client as the brand strategy document. And I think for me personally, I customize every brand strategy, the look and feel, the language, to the client's branding. And the wording there uses, our purpose is like this, like that. Our mission is this. This is our plan. Our logo is laid out this way. Because I think that way, if the client, like when you think about how the client uses it, if you use your own voice as the designer and use your own branding and just plug in the information from the workshop or like your brand strategy, when they pass it on to, I don't know, maybe team members or third party partners or collaborators, it would be as if it's a designer speaking to them. And so that's something that I really stand by, like really having the brand strategy own the voice of the founder or the brand, because it's more empowering that way. It just makes them feel, oh my gosh, like I have this brand. I really own it now. And this is the standard that I will be following moving forward. This is what the brand is going to be all about. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned from, you know, like the agency world, because brand strategies or roadmaps, like for the bigger corporations, you wouldn't see like who made that. Like, there's none of that in their documents. It's really theirs. And so I think with that, like, yeah, it really gives the my client like that confidence and that independence as well to implement and take action on their brand.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest issues that my clients have with the, I mean, I don't even really call it a brand strategy. It's more like a messaging and creative direction guide, because I know just how in-depth true brand strategy is. And a lot of my clients don't necessarily come to me being like, oh, I need a strategy. They're more like, they want the messaging, which is like, that's my more full service kind of quote unquote brand messaging and creative direction document, or they literally just need the visual direction, mood board, color palette, fonts, et cetera, which is not really a brand strategy. Maybe you'll bust some of those myths in the next question, but my clients do struggle sometimes with like, what is this? Like, what is this external? Is this copy going on my website? Like, who is going to use this? And I've added slides over time in my like template. And I do exactly the way that you said is like, oh, this has been my branding. It's got my logo at the end, et cetera. And I love that perspective of like, oh, wow, really make it something where they can see the use of it while they're consuming the content. Because, you know, a lot of my clients get confused about like, what is this for? Like, why? Sometimes people are like, where's my logo? And I'm like, well, this is the first phase and you'll see your logo in the content presentation. Mm-hmm. But like, I've realized I've really had to hold their hands through it. And of course, that might be, you know, my market is really just not very brand strategy minded, which is okay. But I think it's awesome that you're putting it together as like, okay, wow, this is a tool. This is how it's going to be used. This is, you know, this foundational document. Like, why should it not be in their branding? I love that. Yeah. That's a great take.
Yeah. And I don't know, like it takes a little bit of effort and I guess a little more time to mm-hmm. really customize everything. But, you know, if I'm to create something that would, you know, make a difference and really give them that transformation, then I don't think it would hurt to spend a couple minutes more, you know, just like putting their branding on the roadmap. But of course, it's different. It's different for everyone.
Yeah, like I think that's a really important distinction for sure, to like recognize what your audience really values, you know, and what type of clientele you're going to be trying. Like a Heart and Hone client sounds very different from a Hello June client. And that's okay. And that's awesome. And I think a lot of designers think, oh man, there's so much competition out there. It's all already been done. Like, no, like your strengths and your history and your experience and your perspective and the way that you think about strategy, like that is calling in these clients that really highly value and are willing to pay thousands and tens of thousands of dollars on your services, you know? Whereas with Hello June, like a lot of the clients that I come in, they're really just looking for visuals. They tend to be a little smaller. They don't care as much about strategy. Like just, it's funny of like how different, like how many different types of businesses there are out there. But like for people who are like, oh my gosh, brand strategy is like, I am so curious about this. This is a really great way to elevate my positioning, to increase my pricing, to increase the value that I can give to clients. I would love to do some myth busting on the brand strategy kind of buzz phrases that you see out there in the world. Like what are some myths you'd like to bust? Like what mistakes do you see designers making? Like let's continue like diving into your strategy and what you've found to be like the most effective ways to approach this for your market.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, and I also was a victim to this, is that the value of brand strategy is not dependent on the number of pages of the PDF output.
Amen. Say it louder for the people in the back. I love this.
This is something that I had to learn the hard way. I was on the road to burnout, and you know, like I see a lot of designers glorify how their roadmaps are 40 pages, 50 pages. I did that too. I was so proud of an 80-page strategy roadmap before I realized that the more succinct and more actionable it is, the better it is actually, because then your clients can take action immediately because they're not bombarded with information that they may not even need at that point in their business. You know, I think where that's coming from is because sometimes it can, like a lot of us designers feel insecure or unsure about the value that we provide, that we tend to compensate that with adding in more stuff when, you know, it's counterintuitive, because if it derails your clients from getting results, getting transfer or seeing transformation, then it, you know, like it's not worth it. It's not worth staying up all night to do so much research when maybe they don't even need it in the first place, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, we've all fallen victim to deliverable mashing in order to justify the price point in our proposals, where it's like, oh, I'm going to raise my prices, but like also, are they going to pay that much for that little? Oh, I need to add some more deliverables to it. And you're saying it's the same thing with brand strategy. People think like you have to have all these. I mean, when I think about a really robust brand strategy, like, I mean, I might be falling into this narrative of like, I think about axes and graphs and market research and like technical stuff. And I'm like, I'm a creative, like all that stuff kind of really scares me. Like, what would you say to someone who's like trepidatious about approaching brand strategy if they consider themselves primarily like a visual creative versus a strategist? Yeah.
I love this question, and I love that you asked this, because this is actually my next point.
Okay,
brand strategy
perfect.
Is still brand strategy, even if it's not data-driven. I used to be so fixated, coming from corporate, you know, I used to be so fixated on getting clients' numerical results because I felt like that's what mattered to my audience. And I thought that's it. That's what would allow me to book those high paying clients, you know, if I could show them the quantifiable results of brand strategy. And I think this narrative has been so ingrained in us by like the bro marketing space where everything is measurable. It's all about the numbers. It's all about the statistical data. But for me, the more that I worked with clients and brands, the more I realized that, especially when you work with women and take on a more intuitive approach, which is the approach that I take on, what they actually value is the confidence, the clarity, just that sense of peace and pride, knowing that their cause, their movement, their life mission has been made tangible through their brands. And they can clearly articulate that. They can effortlessly speak about that. You know, like I've never had someone ask me, what results have you gotten for other clients? Or what numbers have you produced for similar businesses? So I've never had those kinds of inquiries or questions. If ever that kind of question would land on my inbox, I would just filter it out as, you know, not a right fit for me and like my studio, because that's not how I approach brand strategy. I think for me, I approach brand strategy as it's a more intuitive, empathetic process. I like honing the story of the brand. I like painting a very vivid image of the brand, you know, like really analyzing their audience, how they can build a concept around their brand, their messaging, all that. But I would never cover numbers because I'm not a numbers person.
I feel like this is so refreshing to hear just from myself, and I'm sure people listening, because like I think it is easy to get bogged down in like, oh my gosh, I have to put this matrix in here and I have to do this Venn diagram and like you said, numbers and market research and stuff like that. But kind of just this reminds me of the conversation that I had with Emmanuel Probst, who is a global market research strategist at Ipsos, which is a really big market research firm. And we did a podcast episode about his book, and he said, you can use your intuition to be a strategist. Like the very fact that you are a young person existing in the world, consuming content, you know, staying up to date with current events, like, you know, being a consumer in your own marketplace, you know, going to Target and making purchasing decisions and seeing new brands pop up and watching advertisements, like all of those things get distilled in our creative brains and they come out in the decisions that we make for our clients. And that's what I think, you know, a very intuitive, strategic, you know, process can look like on the back end. It can feel like I just pulled this idea out of my head, but it's actually the product of, you know, my existence in the world and the things that I'm drawn to and what I saw on Reddit the other day. And like, I think there is so much more legitimacy to that approach than a lot of designers understand. And the fact that you're articulating this for us right now is just really amazing and refreshing. So thank you.
I love that. No, yeah, I really love that. And I think one thing that's also important to bring up is that, as you mentioned, you know, like the human experience is something that's so complex that data can't possibly capture the entirety of what goes on in, you know, people's, like the internal works of people. So the deepest insights that you will be producing or coming up with actually sometimes can't be found in research or data. Sometimes it's just by being very curious and, you know, having empathy for your clients, for their clients, that those are the things that will actually bring you to those meaningful pieces of information, those meaningful answers that will allow you to develop really transformative, impactful brands.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love this so much. Do you have any more myths or mistakes or things that you want to put your finger on the pulse of when it comes to brand strategy? Because it's something that people talk about so much. I feel like there's tons of information about it out there. There's some OG courses, there's, you know, but like, I think we're entering kind of a new era of what brand strategy means, and you're helping to shape that narrative, which is super cool.
No, I think, you know, with brand strategy, sometimes people have, you know, like, this is the structure of brand strategy. Like, it has to have all these different parts. But like, that's how I used to do things. But now my brand strategies are very succinct. They're very short, sometimes just 10 pages, just 15 pages, because I would only provide what my clients need. And that's still brand strategy. That's still valuable. You know, like, again, jumping off from my first point, like, you don't have to include all of the different elements of brand strategy. Because when you look up brand strategy on Google, most of the information education are for larger corporations. And for the kinds of clients that you and I would work with, they don't need all of those things. So you don't have to, like, for example, like, there's a lot of confusion about unique selling proposition, unique value proposition, all the abbreviations. I myself can't even determine, like, set them apart, you know, very well. So how I do it is, I'll just say differentiator. That's it. You don't have to worry about, you know, like, if it's, if you find that it's, there's friction with how you're understanding that piece of the strategy, just don't include it. You know, like, there's no pressure to include that. And that's how you could really sustain that process and continue to incorporate brand strategy in your process, if you take on a more flexible, fluid, intuitive approach versus being very rigid and being very strict about a certain structure.
This is so amazing, and it makes me want to dive more into brand strategy, because I think for so long, I wouldn't say I've necessarily been like afraid of it, but I've just heard these like rumblings from social media and like the design space, like, oh, well, you're not a real strategist if XYZ, like, you're not a real strategist if you're not doing the research or doing cold calls or doing, you know, focus groups, or you're not a real strategist if you don't, like, you know, put together like 10 different ICAs, you know, ideal client avatars, or you should never do an ICA. You should only do like avatars are dead. Like, I feel like there's just so much out there, and there's so much, I think, shaming, like, language around like what it takes to be a real strategist. But what I'm hearing you say is like, you can make your own definition of strategy based off of what your clients actually value and what's going to be impactful to their companies. And everyone's market is slightly different. Like, I was talking about, like, the Hello June market at the beginning versus like the Hearn and Hone market. Like, I mean, there's a ton of content we put out there about unique positioning, design style, history, you know, taste, like, all of those different things are going to attract different types of people. And so why should there be this band-aid brand strategy that people quote unquote say is the quote unquote right way to do things? Do you have any thoughts on kind of that conversation that's happening online?
I absolutely love that. Cause like, that's my whole philosophy. Like, you could create a brand strategy process that feels good to you and your clients. And I think you had sort of covered this conversation in your podcast episode with Marissa. Is that her name, from Rise Creative?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All about product market fit. And I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't agree more with this, because, you know, you really have to define who it is that you want to work with so that you can create a tailored offer that solves a very specific problem that they're experiencing, which is what will make it easier to sell brand strategy. So someone who prefers working with solopreneurs will have a different offer suite than a brand strategist who prefers working with larger businesses with bigger teams. You know, for example, you're working with newer personal brands and you really want to offer brand strategy. Like, you like the big picture thinking, you like going deep into the identity or the essence of the brand. So, but like, for example, you see all this conversation about, oh, to be a real strategist, you have to do market research, you have to do all these things. But I guess a better question to ask is, would your audience actually need full brand strategy? Or maybe, you know, you could offer a more consulting type offer that would better suit them, knowing that things can change so quickly when they're at this stage of the business, you know? So I guess what I'm trying to say is for you to actually be successful with a brand strategy, you want to present it and package it in a way that is resonant with their clients, in a way that they're So I guess what I'm saying is for clients to actually ask for a brand strategy and for you to be successful with it, you want to present it as something that is fitting for your clients and something that is fitting for the way that you're working too, because you don't want to be helping someone by following a process of another person that's not even aligned with how you work, you know?
Yes, you have to make it work for you and for them. And that's the same way that I approach my pricing. It's the same way I approach my offer suite. It's the same way I approach my sales process, which is a great opportunity for us to talk about selling brand strategy, because it's one thing to understand it. It's one thing to like craft, you know, maybe not necessarily a template, but like a starting base for a roadmap or, you know, certain, you know, offers that you can then customize to your clients' needs. How would you recommend someone approach selling brand strategy to a client that's coming your way and is like, well, I just want a brand identity or I just want a website? Is this something that clients need to come to you already wanting? How do you talk about it to someone who doesn't know what it is? Give us all the details.
Yeah. I really love what you said earlier about how the sales process begins before, you know, the sales call. Like, that's actually like a speaking point that I have. So I'm glad that we're aligned. Because I think for me, when I started, you know, like selling brand strategy, most of the conversation is around, okay, here's how you transition the sales conversation to revolve around strategy. And it's just never felt natural for me, because they would be coming to me for something else. And then here I am, you know, I'm trying to sell brand strategy when they don't even know what it is. And it feels like I have to convince them and educate them. So something that I really tried to refine, you know, over the years would be my positioning and my marketing, because now my clients would come to me actually asking for brand strategy. And most of the time they would only be inquiring with me because I'm the only person who has that way of thinking, who has that specific approach to brand strategy. So when you want to be a brand strategist, you wouldn't want to solely revolve your positioning around your design skills, which is what a lot of us do. And I think the thing is, sometimes, and it's totally fine if you want to, you know, just be known as a brand designer, just want to offer design. But if you want to offer brand strategy, the thing is, sometimes I've experienced this too, but if your design style is the main factor why clients choose you, you risk being compared to other designers who have similar design styles. And in some cases, they may go for the designer who offers a cheaper price. That's why I always encourage designers, and also try to remind myself to showcase your irreplaceable qualities more than your design skills. And by that, I mean your thinking, your thought process, your personal philosophy when it comes to branding. Not just, okay, this is what this color means, this is the meaning that's behind the logo, but really maybe questions like, what branding practices do you disagree with and why? You know, how do you approach brands that seem to have lost their way? When you critique a brand, what elements are you most drawn to? So when you answer, you know, higher level questions in your marketing, positioning, content, you're not just showing clients that I infused meaning into this logo, I have a hidden story behind this logo, but it's really bringing attention to how you build brands, how you create experiences, how you help your clients become innovators in their space, because that is what brand strategy clients value. And also too, I know you advocate for this as well, really showing those pieces of yourself that are unique to you and that clients will only receive from you and not from anyone else, even if you have the same design style as another designer.
Yeah, that's a question that we get super often, is like, how much of my life and my personality, is it appropriate to show, or like, should I use my logo as my profile picture instead of like my face? And my answer every time is use your face. People want to talk to people. Same. Like, I'm sure there's like certain situations where it would make sense to have it be a logo, but like, even like those larger brands that do have like, I mean, I'm talking like corporate or like digitally native brands that are, you know, that got started, like Casper, like Allbirds. I mean, those are obviously, they've been around for quite a while. I'm a huge Red Antler fan. So I just think of Red Antler brands. They're a design agency out of New York, but their messaging and their copy, it sounds like it's coming from a person, an individual, a human being. And I think that that ties in really closely with this intuitive approach that you're talking about to brand strategy, that AI can't replicate, that you can't find on Google, ChatGPT can't make it for you. Like, I'm not in the slightest threatened by AI, because that those, like you said, those irreplaceable human qualities that my clients come to me for, because I understand them, because I have a similar lifestyle, because we have similar values, because they like the way that I talk about something, or they were inspired by a quote I shared. Like, no one is going to be able to have that same personal connection with a brand that doesn't show that. If all you're showing is your logo and your design work and whatever, great, you have cool designs, but like, I want to work with someone that like, that I like, that I have a connection to. And I think that I love that you're talking about educating through content and allowing those unique positioning elements of your personality beyond your design style to be the thing that help connect people and draw people into where they're asking you about brand strategy rather than you having to bring it up on the call. I think that's a really important shift to note here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that like with that too, like you don't want to be someone who is known as just someone who knows how to use design tools. You know, I'm sure that's not a position that you want to be in as a creative and as designers. I know like we're most effective when there's trust in the relationship, and when we're given that creative space to explore, to test out new ideas, and not just have someone tell us, oh, this is my vision, here's my drawing, put this on Illustrator, like create a logo for me. And I think
then we're just pixel pushers.
exactly. And we don't want to be pixel pushers.
No. So I would love to jump into any advice that you have for someone who doesn't currently offer brand strategy to add that to their service suite, or maybe they do kind of do brand strategy, but they really want, they're very intrigued by this kind of new, I don't want to say like new age approach, because that sounds like, you know, spiritual or whatever, but like this kind of just new perspective and this like fresh way to approach brand strategy. Like, what would be like the single like most important piece of advice that you would share with someone who is really curious about adding this to their offer suite?
Yeah. I would say start small. You know, the thing that hinders a lot of people from offering brand strategy is because they feel overwhelmed about producing a certain result, that they feel like they don't know enough to work on strategy. But what I would say is you don't have to be an expert to begin offering brand strategy. I'm actually a little averse to the word expert, because personally, it makes me feel like I have to be at a certain level for me to offer something valuable. I have to know all of these things. But how my mindset and my approach towards my identity as a strategist is that I'm a guide. I'm a facilitator, because everything that I need to create a viable strategy is already within my clients. They have the answers. I just have to extract it from them, mirror it to them, facilitate the ideation and brainstorming process so they can better articulate what it is that they want their brands to be about. I know this isn't an approach that a lot of people take, but I never do market research. I don't do any sort of extra research on my clients' brands. Maybe I would, but like very little, just to confirm things. But my main source of research are always my clients. Like, I mm-hmm. trust that they're the best people to be speaking about their brands. And I know that they know their brands better than I do. So if they say something, mm-hmm. they bring up something, I'll just do research maybe a little bit after. But I don't come to workshops, you know, so well prepared, and I don't have all the information. I think it's actually a very beautiful thing to come into a workshop when you hardly know anything. Maybe you're familiar with, you know, what they're doing, but you don't have to know all the jargon. You don't have to be a master expert about their specific industry, because it's actually yes. a good thing that you don't know a lot of things, because if you yourself can't understand that, then maybe that says something about how they're communicating or how they're currently communicating their brands. You know, if a normal person can't understand what they're talking about, maybe there's opportunity to enhance or improve their communications. So I think that's my biggest advice. You know, like, you could do brand strategy as you are. And I know it's a very natural thing for designers. We were talking about this earlier as well, to be curious, you know, ask questions, to find and infuse meaning into every single detail that we do. So that's really the only thing that you have to capitalize on. Like, if you're a designer, you already have the innate skills of what it takes to be a brand strategist.
Oh, I love that so much. It's almost like we're coming in as like these filters, being able to collect like a brain dump from our clients, and then filter that through our own experience as consumers in a market. And I love being able to say that I'm a consumer in the market of the client that I serve, like the home goods spaces and fine art. Understanding their market is really important. I think it's such a refreshing perspective to say, like, you don't have to have all the answers right away, and to treat your client like the source of a lot of the information that you're going to be almost distilling into the brand strategy. And then, of course, there's going to be other original ideas that pop up and that originate from the conversation that you have with your client, because that's only one facet, right? Like, they have the information, but then, like, you're going to think like, oh, well, just something about some campaign you saw somewhere, or a TikTok you saw, or something that you read, like, all of those things come together to help spark new ideas. Or like when I'm writing messaging, for example, like it always feels so easy to me to do a questionnaire, to do a strategy call, and then to write someone's messaging. But every time I deliver a messaging like Sprint, which is my most recent service, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second, the client is always like, wow, I never could have articulated that on my own. Like, you really found a way to like really write that in a way that like I was trying to explain that, and I knew that at my core, but like I've never had the words to say it. And I think the same is true for strategy, where we can think like, oh, well, they put it in the questionnaire and they said it, and so it's not really like my original idea, but like the way you put all of those moving pieces together and stack them and then infuse your own ideas into it is the valuable deliverable that your client cannot get just from themselves alone. A lot of people say like, oh, I'm too close to my brand. Like I can do this for other people, or they have marketing backgrounds, or they've worked in corporate and they know what brand strategy is, but they just can't get outside their own mind. And then being able to bounce that off of someone like us, who brings that unique perspective from whatever background that we have, is part of the value. And that can be something you guys can talk about on your sales calls too. If people are wondering about like, okay, well, what is the value of brand strategy? Like you said, those feelings of alignment, that feeling of, oh my gosh, everything's falling into place. Like, things start happening for companies when they feel aligned with their strategy, with their messaging, with their copy, with their visuals. Like, I mean, we've seen it over and over and over again as brand designers, like, oh, what's the value? What's the ROI of brand design? It's like, well, people get their branding done and then they take off. Like, why is that? You know, it's because they feel this like deep confidence in what it is they're doing. And their audience starts to feel that too. And their audience it becomes a no-brainer to buy their services, and they raise their prices. And there's all of these almost like intangible, nebulous ROI pieces that are hard to talk about, but we obviously go over a lot of that in my group program, the mini mind, we talk about the podcast, like how to talk about the value and everything. So it's all very deeply connected. And so that's why I always feel good about like being a consumer of media in the world. Like I used to think like, oh, like I need to stop scrolling, or like I shouldn't be on TikTok, or like I need to stop watching YouTube, or I shouldn't watch that. Or I bought a ticket to go see the Eras Tour, like in the movie theater. I'm watching it on streaming. Like I love Taylor Swift, but I didn't buy a ticket to go see it. But like, that's a really important part of culture. I was inspired by her outfits and her lyrics, like listen to music, listen to records, go to the library, like read books, like all of those things help you become a better filter and a better designer for your clients. Do you have any thoughts on that about like encouraging your own creativity?
I was just swooning over every word you said. I think with creativity, I mean, you know, isn't it just such a great feeling to know that someone just gets you? Like you're so confused. Like all of the thoughts are like welling up in your head and you're like, you know, I just need to get this out. Like, I know I have everything. I know it's in me, but why can't I journal it out? Why can't I walk it off? Like, it's bothering me every night. And then you come across someone who could straighten or, you know, like sort out the jumble of thoughts in your head. Like it makes you feel like someone has your back. And I think that's such a valuable sentiment to have as an entrepreneur, because we mostly work on our own, right? Like entrepreneurship can be lonely. Like we go through things that we can't talk about to a lot of people. Not a lot of people understand, but the client to brand strategist relationship is so special because, as you mentioned, it's such a human bond. There's so much humanity in it that goes beyond branding, goes beyond, you know, like brand building. You're actually getting to know someone beyond being an entrepreneur. You're getting to know their lives. They're inviting you into their deepest vulnerabilities. And that's what I enjoy the most about being a brand strategist. It's really that human connection and those deep conversations that I have with clients that I feel so honored and privileged to listen to and, you know, take part of, because it's such a vulnerable process, you know, brand strategy. It's not even just about building brands. I have clients who would share some of their deepest, darkest fears with me just to give me context. And just being that in that position feels like such an honor, feels like such a privilege, you know, that someone trusts you with that information so that you can create possibly something beautiful out of it, something meaningful out of that. And I think that's what really branding is. You know, branding is all about connecting a brand, a concept, an idea to people. It's all about creating community, like forwarding a cause. It's not necessarily about making something beautiful or, you know, making something pretty, which I know we all know, but there's so much that goes into the brand development process. And you get to know so much about people. You get to know so much about humanity and so much about yourself too.
So if anyone here is a designer, but they're not a brand designer yet, just go back and listen to that soundbite, because I am biased and I know Marion's biased, but we think branding is the best way to be a professional designer, because like you said, of how fun it is and how connective it is. You're not sitting here in a vacuum just thinking something up on your own. It's collaborative. Like you said, you get to like I've had those experiences as well, where clients have opened up about very traumatic life experiences that have led, like the darkest times in their lives have led to this rebirth of this brand that they've always dreamed about, that they're finally got the gumption to do. And it has so much more meaning in it because of those life experiences or those fears or those, you know, those things that have happened in their lives. And I mean, I say often that brand design is one of the most intimate design services. I mean, interior design as well. It's like you're going into someone's home and asking them about what side of the bed do you get up on? Like, how do you make your coffee? Like, how do you shower at night? It's like the same thing with branding. It's like we're talking about, like, who do you not want to work with and why? Like what makes your brand positioned in the market in the way that it is? Like, what type of choices do your consumers have? Like, why do they go with you? Like, what makes you special and unique? It's like giving someone permission to, like, just gas themselves up. And, like, I'm here for that. Like, I just love that so much. So we're just in love with our industry over here. Love fest moment for brand design and strategy, because that, of course, wraps in. But I want to make sure that we have time to talk about the Brand Strategy Training Ground, which is your free offer, and your signature course, Sought After Strategist. If someone is like, I need to hear more from Marian, I need whatever it is that she's doing, I want to do brand strategy like her, how can someone find out more information and then potentially work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So as Jen has presented, I'm definitely biased, branding and brand strategy. So if you want to start incorporating that in your process, just really wanting to dip your toes into it, I have a brand strategy training ground. It's a free mini course, and it contains 5 videos that gives you a simplified overview of what goes into brand strategy, how to craft roadmaps, position yourself as a brand partner, and elevate the kind of client that you want to attract. And when you're ready to take your skills to the next level, you can sign up for my signature course, Sought After Strategist. So it's meant to help you refine and really elevate, sharpen your brand strategy skills, so you could increase the value of your design services and book those dreamy aligned clients at fulfilling rates, whatever that number is for you, so that you could really, you know, like, really go deep into the brands that you'll want to be working with. So the course covers everything from the theory and principles behind the role of each element in the brand strategy. There are several examples and case studies on how it can be applied to real life brands, which I think is what most courses are lacking. You'll also learn how to think strategically with lessons on brainstorming, inciting, creative innovation, writing, all of the things. And I'll also, of course, be walking you through my own process as well, so you can be inspired to create a process that feels good to you as well. And for listeners of the podcast, you get a special discount. So if you use the code BETTER, that's just all caps, you get $50 off of the investment of the course.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing that discount with us. And the thing that I love that you said most just now is that you're teaching your process, but you're also actively encouraging people to make it their own and to change and tweak and to adjust, just like we were talking about in this whole conversation, for their market, for their clients, for what's going to make sense in their brain. You know, we all have a unique brain, a unique set of life experiences, which is why I always say, like, you are your positioning, like, make use of your own personality. And so I love that you're approaching education rather than with a prescriptive philosophy of, hey, this is how it's done, this is how it should be, and more of a flexible, open, hey, here's how I've done it, here are real life examples of, I love that you include that, of, like, real clients in there, and take it, change it, use it. Like, that's definitely my teaching style for sure as well. So love that so much. Thanks for sharing that with us. And then I wanted to, you know, just kind of pop in and go over just a couple of things happening in the Hello June universe. I mentioned my brand messaging service. This is a done for you service that has, it has sold out so much that I stopped talking about it because I didn't have any more room in my schedule to get people in. It's called the Copy and Brand Messaging Sprint for Designers. And what it is I write your brand messaging and your homepage copy for you in a single 4-hour sprint. Happens once a week, every Wednesday. I have a spot available. I might even have to make it every other Wednesday just because I have a lot of other stuff going on. But a lot of designers I found have been just really unclear about their own positioning and, like, what it is that makes them unique, et cetera. And copywriters can be really expensive. Like we're talking like $5,000-$6,000 for, you know, full website copy, which I fully support and I fully see the value. And I think copywriters should be paid very well for their services. But I wanted to put together a really like lightning fast package sprint that gets you your brand messaging. And I have to say the clients that I've worked with so far on this, they have been seeing increased inquiries. They've been seeing that increased confidence in their brand. They're finally filling in those puzzle pieces that they've been waiting on for a really long time. And just, it's really cool to see the impact that those little copy sprints are having. So I don't have a fancy sales page for you guys. I have a Notion doc. Please shoot me a DM at Hello June Creative if you're curious about becoming a Copy Sprint client. Right now, there's only 4 spots available per month, and I'm thinking about making that go down to 2 spots. I mean, they sell out super quickly, which I'm really grateful for. Amazing. Maybe I need to charge more for it. I don't know, but I feel good about the price. Just DM me, and I'll send you guys information about it. You can decide if it's something that you're interested in. And then the last thing I just made a decision about today is that I am going to be opening up a second round of the Design Mini Mind in the second half of this year in 2024. So rather than, if you're curious about hopping into that group and one-to-one mentorship program, you would have had to wait until January 2025. I have had such overwhelming interest that I'm going to be starting a brand new cohort starting July 1st of this year and running through the end of the year. I've been having applications come through and I'm not even marketing it. And just, I've been having so much fun with my current mini miners for round 2 that I was like, you know what? Give the people what they want. So be on the lookout on Instagram just for more information about when doors are going to open. It's going to be probably in, you know, a month or so that doors will be officially open, but follow me on Hello June Creative on Instagram to find out more information. And also it doesn't hurt to shoot me a quick DM and say, hey, like, I'm really interested in the Mini Mind. Like, maybe we can start a conversation about it, just because the last time I opened doors, it sold out fully in 3 days. And there were people applying after that 3-day period that I unfortunately had to turn away because I keep it limited to only 8 spots every single cohort. So those are my Hello June updates. Thanks, Marian, for hanging out with me while I did my little announcements.
It's amazing. I love that. Yeah, they're going to be in good hands for sure.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it. So let's wrap up with our inbox question for today. Sierra Michelle asks, I'd love advice for how I can relaunch my studio as a luxury brand. What are your thoughts about going from just freelancer or designer to like, I'm going to be luxury?
I think it starts really with defining what luxury is for you. And then build upon that, because luxury can mean so many things for people. I also sort of position myself as a luxury studio. I've stopped saying it explicitly because I noticed that, at least for me and my clients, our definition of luxury is the level of care and intention that we put into our work. And that resonates with my audience. So try to define what luxury means for you and your audience. It can be your style. It can also be like, it can mean different things. You know, like there are people who present luxury as like this exclusive high touch brand and vibe, and it can mean differently for someone else. So start there, start what, how you would want to define luxury and what that means for your audience as well. And then build a philosophy around that. You know, like start talking about that. This is why I'm a luxury brand. This is how we build luxury brands. This is my very unique approach in building brands in the luxury space or luxury brand development. How about you, Jen? What would your advice be?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I think the English language can feel so limiting sometimes because everyone has a different definition of clean. Everyone thinks bold means something different. And the same is true for the word luxury. I mean, I've had clients say that they don't love the word luxury because to them it feels too like hoity-toity or too like exclusive or like too expensive, and they want to be seen as something different. So if you're talking about like high tickets, like limited clientele, boutique, just like Marion said, like articulate that to your clientele, and you can start making content around what your new positioning elements are. Anytime you change your positioning or you shift your perspective, start making content about it. Test the waters. See what your audience is resonating with most. What language are people using when they're inquiring with you? Mm-hmm. How would your audience describe your design style if that's an important part of your positioning? What do they think about the word luxury? Put a question box on your stories and say, hey, I'm doing a poll. Like, what word comes to mind when you think of luxury? What brands come to mind when you think of luxury? I mean, that's a great way to dip your toes into quote unquote market research. Like, I do that all the time. It's just like interacting with the audience that you currently have. And then if you're wanting to go out and get different types of clients, like sometimes I hear designers say like, oh, I feel like all the people that are following me are like super low budget, or like I'm getting pricing pushback. Then go out and find the types of people that you think are the ideal clients to you, and literally DM them and ask them questions about how they make hiring decisions. Or, hey, if you've worked with a brand designer recently, I mean, they're not going to be the ideal client for you because they just invested. Like, tell me more about why you chose them. Like, what's important to you when you're looking to work with someone who is a luxury studio or whatever? So I think just like, you know, like we were talking about this whole conversation, get curious and listen to what people have to say. Make sure that you're not crafting your positioning in a vacuum or in serving your clients something that they're not going to understand or resonate with or find valuable. Turn to whatever way you communicate with your clients, your community, your social media, IRL, you know, meetups, friends, and start with a conversation and start with questions and make a big research. Make a big brain dump doc of like everything that you find, basically.
I love that. That's really great advice. Like asking first before assuming, so that saves you from all the overthinking.
100%. Awesome. Well, Sierra, let us know if that was helpful. And if any of you guys have inbox questions, you can always submit them to me on Instagram at Better Podcast or at Hello June Creative. And then Marion, do you want to just tell everyone where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. So the education part of my business is at bymarionco.co. Website is the same. If you want all the resources on brand strategy, you can find it on there, both on Instagram and my website.
Perfect. And we're going to have links to everything in the description of this episode as well. Thank you, Marion, so much for joining.
Thank you
so much.
This
is such a great conversation. My intern is going to have a really hard time picking a sound bite for our social media because it was all so good.
I love this conversation. Thank you so much.
Of course. All right. I'll see you guys in next week's episode. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode, leave a review, join our free Facebook community, and share the pod with your designer friends so they can join the fun. Give me a shout on Instagram at Better Podcast if you want to submit an inbox question, and visit the pod at hellojunecreative.co/podcast to learn more and snag discounts on my favorite resources. See you next week.